adult audience. Love line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Dickie Barrett is our guest tonight. Our dear, 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 dear friend, Dickie. As you know, a lead singer of the Mighty Mighty Bosstones, who are out on tour, and I got some tour dates coming up. And Dickie, it's a delight to see you.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, whoa, whoa. Yeah, no mic. Look at this. Hold on here. Watch this. Watch this.
Never happened before.
Look at this.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable.
His mic wasn't plugged in. Well, that's not ancient. That's not Anderson's fault, though.
Who do I blame?
It's not Anderson. It's not Anderson's fault.
I think Anderson came in and unplugged it.
It's not his fault.
But it was
it's
Adam's
not the engineer's fault.
I'm sorry, guys. I apologize.
No, that's not your fault, buddy.
Sick.
Listen, you
medication.
Can't be expected to have the mics plugged in.
I'm on
the show
lots
starts.
Of medication. I apologize.
That's cool, buddy.
He's got new,
that actually
blue,
never
he's got new blue hair.
No.
Yeah.
It was it's a nice twist on old trick. Normally, he just doesn't have the guests potted up.
Well, no. Normally, it's the crappy equipment. This one, actually, there's a human error here.
No. Anderson oftentimes does not have the mic turned up for the guests.
But let's put a positive spin on it. Did you see the way Drew jumped on it?
Yeah, Drew.
He sussed that problem out and got it. He's a troubleshooter from the word go.
Drew did notice the mic hanging out there, the check.
It's 5 seconds before the show, he helped a man whose pacemaker went down. The hospital called and he helped him out.
Really?
He's been troubleshooting since he got here.
What happened, Drew?
There was some trouble over there.
They were taking off methadone on a pacemaker, and nurses freaked out a little bit. It's all right.
Methadone and a pacemaker?
Yeah.
Then just as calmly as he plugged my mic in, he got this guy's pacemaker working
good
again.
Good times.
Yeah, right.
By phone.
Dickie, how long are you in town for, by the way?
I'm in town for 3 days, and the most important thing I'm doing is this show, and we just got back from England. We were over there with the Sum 41 guys. We did some pretty big shows with them. And
we like those guys, don't we?
Yeah,
they're nice kids.
Yeah.
They're adorable. Canadians.
Yeah.
And like Canadians are, they're adorable.
Yeah, they're
that's
nice.
One thing I found about the kids, they're cute as buttons up there.
That whole band is cute. They all have little button noses and the small parts and stuff.
Okay, pops and pops here.
Yeah.
They're cute.
Grandpa
like Mason Reese.
Talking about the grandkids?
That's talking to
me. Yeah, I know.
Cute kids. I know we're at that age.
Oh, my God.
You have some cute kids yourself.
You're
adorable. I've seen pictures. They're adorable.
Get the latest pictures out. Trump,
I don't have any latest.
Do you have the dogs?
No.
No?
What is the Bosstones song Jackknife Joe's Swan featured on the Atticus 2 Dragging the Lake CD?
It's a brand new compilation. Atticus is some sort of...
it's the clothing company of our buddies...
from Blink.
Blink.
Right. And they have a compilation CD.
It's the second compilation they made in... I don't know. I'm not really trying to sell anything. I just want to come in and see you. I haven't seen you in a while. I like hanging out with you guys.
What are you doing tomorrow?
If I have to cut a new album every time I come in, I'll do that. But, you know, basically want to just hang out.
You want to come by Jimmy's show tomorrow and say hi?
Yeah, can I?
Yeah.
Well,
you guys are playing tomorrow night?
I'd like to just sit and watch it. I don't want to bother anybody.
Are you playing tomorrow night?
No.
Oh, all right. Wait, come by. By during the day.
Are you going to be there?
Yeah.
During the day?
Yeah.
What time are you getting up these days?
Oh, man. I'm getting up. I'm going by. We got a whole day ahead of us tomorrow.
Right.
All right, you get up.
We got a whole show in front of us, too.
Yeah, all right. We got everything.
Right.
You're right. Stop using these mics like intercoms. Pilot to co-pilot.
If you come in here,
telephones, like
a little bit early, you get to see things like Drew saving a life.
You're a couple of schoolgirls in your telephone.
Yeah.
I know.
All right.
You went from Grandpa Moses to Susie and Tricia. It's like,
this is the only time we
guys.
Get to see each other.
Oh, my God.
We don't call each other for months, you know?
No, but we do explain how much we love each other each time we see each other.
On the air.
We never call each other.
We're going to do that on the air.
No, we go out. We had a nice breakfast last time you were out in town.
That was funny, man.
All right. Let's take some calls.
I have some time tomorrow afternoon. Okay,
do you?
Yeah.
Do you? I tell you, we're going.
Stand up for me, Dickie.
We're going by the new house tomorrow. You want to come by and take a look?
I'm in.
All right. Yeah. We'll work this all out.
All right.
Let's go to the phones and speak to Eddie, who's 19. Eddie?
Yeah, hi.
Hey.
I have a question for both of you. I want to know why it is that when I'm changing, I'm banging my chick in the butthole. She seems, she tells me from when I talk to her.
No, yeah, we don't have that law. Really, you believe him?
I believe him, but I think he's full of ass. But he's telling a true story. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't believe any of it. Right. And then, if it is true, it's urethra's full of ass. But go ahead, Eddie.
Okay. Well, she tells me that her orgasms are more intense and a lot better when, you know, we do it in the butthole than when we go regular vagina.
I think I know his girl.
Yeah. Dickie, I think, hooked up with her last tour.
I know this woman.
Yeah, well, that could be true, right?
I think it's very true.
That's why some women like that.
Is it common or
no? It's not. It's uncommon, very uncommon. But there is definitely that person out there. Not super rare either.
Yeah.
Just uncommon.
Okay, because from what I had heard was
mason
that the actual butthole has more sensitive and trigger points than
Now see, now Drew thinks a bogus call. Listen, Eddie, what are you going into medicine?
No.
What do you care? You're just banging someone in a butthole. They like it. It's fine.
I think that it's common with the girls that like getting banged in the butthole.
It's common. I have,
not to be crude like Eddie.
Talking to these women over the years, I found the ones that really like it, like he's describing, are ones that tend already to be multi-orgasmic.
Right.
Dickie's
research, too.
What's interesting about guys is guys have to sort of have a mechanical, physiological cause and effect kind of thing for everything.
Yeah, they have to understand it.
We're sort of explorers.
If it were a mechanical device, he would have already taken it apart and examined every piece. But
right.
It won't come apart, so he's got to, hey, whoa.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
Andy's bragging.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Eddie's full of ass, make no mistake about it, but I think he was speaking about something that really was happening.
All right. Is that Callie?
Well, it's been 10 years of therapy, and I've never told a therapist, and gosh, I feel like I'm going to throw up just thinking about it now.
All right, hey, slow down here. Why haven't you told anybody before now?
It was just hard to say. It was
hard. It
makes me sick to think that I ever made it to that point.
All right, and what's made you need to talk about it tonight on the radio?
I guess because I'm getting married in August, and
all right. Well, let us guess what it is.
Okay.
You molested your, little brother.
No.
Little sister.
No.
Older brother.
You killed somebody.
Older. Twin sister.
I didn't molest anybody.
Let's see. Somebody molested you.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that's pretty much all your callers, right? Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, what is the big secret?
It went on for about 2 years, but, one night, I was ready for it. I accepted it. I anticipated it.
We're talking about sexual abuse?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it happened. Is it because you enjoyed it that you feel so ashamed of it?
I did not enjoy it, but
I think I came
to a point of accepting it.
Okay. Right. You become passively... Well, you sort of check out is what you do. That's how people deal with that.
Who did this? Your dad?
Yeah.
So you're saying that the shame is that you were abused or that you sort of accepted it?
One night I waited for it. I was like, okay, I expected it.
Yeah. So here's my question, I guess what I'm trying to say is, does your therapist know you're sexually abused?
Yes.
All right.
Yes,
I just never admitted that there was the time that...
Oh, not desired it, but...
Right.
Allowed it.
Somehow, something more than allowed it.
In a
bizarre way, looked forward to it or anticipated it.
Right.
That's normal. That's everybody.
Kelly, it's a very common way that children deal with that. Very, very common. And they feel extra ashamed and extra responsible and therefore extra dirty for having allowed it.
It's almost implied. I mean, if you said to any therapist worth his weight in salt, I was sexually abused by my dad for 2 years, he would assume that some of those feelings passed through your mind.
That's defense, right? It's a defense.
No, it's natural. It's just something that happens to people. And
it causes a real sense of intense shame. And well, see, children.
He's not saying it's not natural. Goofball.
Well, children already have a sense of grandiosity, especially when they're being traumatized like that. In order to stay in control of things, they blame themselves for everything that's happening to them. Otherwise, they feel it's too threatening. This out of control person.
It's like shutting down.
It's a shutdown.
Well, I don't blame myself. I know I didn't do anything, but it was just the fact that I was almost to a point of almost being turned on about the idea of maybe.
Yeah. And that's the part.
And that makes me so sick to my stomach.
Yes, people get disgusted with themselves for feeling that way, but it's normal.
Yeah.
And it's okay.
Yeah, listen, people go to Vietnam and they end up getting excited about killing people and stuff like that. They're in a situation that's very traumatic. You can't blame yourself for those feelings when you're in that kind of situation.
Kelly, here's the reality. Mm-hmm. In your therapy, what's important is that you don't rely on any longer these sorts of mechanisms that have been put in place by the trauma.
Right.
That in therapy, you learn to have a more integrated, greater range of emotional experiences. So talking about this particular event, it turns out, is not that important. Talking about your shame and all that stuff is important. And maybe now you have, clearly you've made some progress in therapy and that you can talk about this and have such clear understanding of it. And maybe you're at a point now where you can talk about it a little more freely in your therapy. Just another step towards being able to experience aspects of yourself more freely.
And good times. Kevin?
Yeah, hey, Adam.
You're 13?
Yeah, I'm 13.
Got a question for Dickie?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you guys recognize me, but I've called a few times before.
Oh, yeah. Silk.
Yeah.
Drew and I call you Silk, like when we're talking on our cell phones on the way home. It's like, yeah, it's been a few months since we heard from Silk. And then
exactly what he's talking about.
Drew will correct me and I go, no, he called in when you were doing Kimmel's show. He called first call of the night.
First
you missed him
night.
Out. I'm like, oh, man, I miss Silk.
You just love to hear his voice, Kevin's velvet tones of Kevin's voice.
Yeah, hold on.
Lay it on us, Kev.
Hold on. Shh, let him talk. Go ahead, Silk.
All right. Well, I have a question for Dickie, and I wanted to know if the song Riot on Broad Street tells like a true story or if the lyrics are made up.
It tells a true story of a turn of the century riot between Protestants and Catholics. I think the
oh really?
You seen Gangs of New York?
Yeah, I did. It was a little disappointing for me.
Really?
I loved the I don't know. I thought there was too many liberties. I read the book when I was a kid and
oh really?
He married too much time together, you know, like those riots happened but it didn't all happen on the same weekend.
Well, it's like Daniel Day-Lewis kills.
He was awesome.
He was great, but he kills Leonardo DiCaprio's dad when Leonardo's 4, and now Leonardo's 31 and Daniel Day-Lewis has a mustache. It's like, wait a minute. It was 24 years later.
And the whole time I'm going, I just wish that boat would sink. No, I mean, that's Titanic.
All right. Well,
you got to see it again, Dick. It's great.
All right, Anderson.
Yeah? You got to study it, Anderson?
Unplug your mic this time, would you, Anderson? Hey, Kevin.
Yeah.
You know the, you ever hear the Boston song, The Rascal King?
Don't know.
Oh, you're going to like that song.
Right. That's a true story, too.
That's a good song.
Yeah. Like right,
crooked die. Good times there, Silk.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kevin. Bye.
Yeah. I love that song.
I love that Silk. He really does, you know.
Smooth.
He's turned the show around, hasn't he?
He really has. Let's get it going. Let's dedicate the rest of the night to Silk.
All right, here we go.
All right, let's talk to
Silk at 13.
Robert, who's 19.
Yeah, what's up, man?
What's up?
A whole new, different style.
That's right. We got a new flow going.
Yeah, well,
this is sandpaper.
I was having sex with this one girl, right?
Yeah.
And she looked at my penis and she said that I wasn't circumcised. And it just got to me, you know. And she said I didn't do it right, really. And I was like, hold on, maybe I should get my penis circumcised. And she said that a lot of other people are circumcised, too.
Hold on, are you Jewish?
No, I'm not Jewish.
Hmm.
I'm just wondering, you know.
I got to flip over all the cards now, Drew. I'm confused.
I can see what they're disorienting to.
Yeah, because I figured Jew would be circumcised.
Yeah.
So, Robert, you're not circumcised.
No, I'm not circumcised.
Or Jewish.
Or Jewish.
Or Jewish.
And she looked at your penis and told you your penis was not circumcised.
Yeah.
And now you want to know whether you should bring your penis in and get it circumcised.
But there was something about the...
It was just something about what she told me that kind of made me think, you know...
It just screwed with your confidence, though, right? She didn't like you. She didn't like having sex with you for some reason.
Is she Jewish?
I don't even know.
Yeah, I bet she is.
Yeah.
I bet she is.
Say something like that.
Yeah. Hey, so, Robert, you don't want to get circumcised, do you?
Not really.
All right, well,
then don't do it.
Don't worry about it. You find yourself a nice girl can appreciate you for who you are. I love that cadence. She then looked at my penis and told me my penis was uncircumcised. So I looked at her and I asked her if I should bring my penis in to be circumcised. It's like
a little bit of a Don King. A little Don King in him.
She looked at it.
I told her we are living in the greatest state, in the greatest country, in the greatest world, the greatest universe, baby, the greatest galaxy, baby, the greatest solar system.
Baby, I want to bang you. Well, let me look at it.
And so what's she, that? Did she really she look down and go, she looked down and goes, your penis.
Before she even handled it, she looked at it.
No, they had a bad outing.
Your penis is not circumcised.
She looked at her penis and went, there's the problem.
I know, but did she actually voice it as not circumcised, she said? No.
She looked at it and noticed she wasn't.
She had someone come in to look at it.
I see. She said to him it wasn't circumcised.
So I had a man look at it.
She was trying to figure out what the problem was, why things didn't go so well that night. So naturally enough, something different about the penis? Must be that.
I consulted a moil. I brought my penis into a moil. He told me it was right not now, circumcised.
Maybe I just called Adam. He told me.
All right, let's do one more call, then we'll hear a Boston song.
No, it's not. Why?
No, let's do it. I got this timing all worked out. You don't like what? Who don't you like here? We have five.
Yeah.
Derek.
Five's good.
Yeah.
And
Derek, you're 13.
Yeah.
Your girlfriend started to look ill when giving you a BJ.
Yeah.
And then you busted a nut and she puked.
Yeah, she was like crazy.
Are you high?
You smoke?
No, no, I'm not high, man.
Straightened right up, didn't you?
What? Yeah, we were like in my house, all
right. Right.
The night before last, and we were making out, you know, and then she was, you know, starting to give me head, all right. So then she's like,
hold on a second. The thing I forget about being a kid is not being able to breathe and talk simultaneously. So it's just always like, you haven't worked it out yet. It's like, we were in my house the other night, and I got my pants off, and she came over, and then, all right. And it's like air's just being
the thing I forget about it is the BJ, because I don't think I got a BJ at 13.
At 13?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, no. Me neither. Derek?
Yeah.
Did you really, what grade are you in?
I'm in 8th grade.
Mm-hmm. What grade's she in?
She's in 8th, too.
Perfect. Are you in love?
Nah.
But you into her?
We like each other and all, but I mean... All
right. Okay.
All right. Yeah. Like, so then she's giving me a hit, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, so then, you know, I start to come, and she's, like, looking, like, oh, you know? And I was like... Yeah. And then she's...
It's like, whatever.
Yeah.
She's like, ooh. And
it's
his
like all
penis
over
is
me,
like, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
No, she didn't puke all over you.
Dude, I mean, not like... it was just like my cum, like, came back up.
Oh, that makes you gay.
What?
It means you're gay.
How much of it hit you?
What?
How much of it hit you?
Like, most of it, only a little bit.
Oh, gone. You're gay.
All right. Well, you're at least bi.
No.
Temporarily. Yeah,
it's true.
Dude, I've, like, never had any...
Well, not, sure, not before this, but now you'd be on a rampage.
You're gay.
All right, Drew, please. Even Drew agrees. Derek.
Yeah.
Slow down.
Okay.
You're moving too fast.
13.
You're 13
Christ.
Years old. You got to, again, I'm going out on a limb here. Jewish?
No.
Oh, man. 0-2. I figured this kid's bar mitzvah would be coming up anytime now, any day.
And then he all becomes right. A man.
Jeez, I wouldn't know how to process a
13.
BJ.
A 13.
Yeah. It'd be like getting a helicopter or something. I'd just stand there and just stare at it and go, what am I going to do?
I'd throw up, I think.
Yeah.
If I was getting a BJ 13, you know what I'd be thinking? I'd be thinking, I can't wait to get home to beat off to this. That was my mindset for like the first 4 years of sex.
Oh, my God.
I was like, that's the only way I could process it. It's like... If I was getting laid for the first 4 years I was having sex, like, man, am I going to beat off to this?
Yeah.
This is going to be great spank material.
So I was doing my paper route, and that girl across the street said hi to me, and I puked. it was awesome.
Dickie is here from the Boss Tones. We're going to hear a song. Yes, Anderson. I know we're running a little late, but that's cool, buddy. This is the Boss Tones. We've got to make exceptions. This is a jackknife to a swan. Stones, Dickie, dear friend, in studio tonight. Atticus is the name of the compilation CD, Dragon the Lake 2, and you can find this. Yeah, this song's on it. Now, where do you find this? Everywhere? It's got Blink-182 on it, Finch.
I don't know.
All right.
Grocery stores. I know. Where do you find your CDs? What do you think?
It's not out yet. All right. Dickie here from the Boss Stones. We'll take a quick break. And we'll
come down here to the station. I'll give you it.
We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Dear friend. Dickie Barrett from the Mighty, Mighty Boss Tones in the studio tonight. Always a delight to see Dickie.
It's fun to be here, and you make me feel so good for my self-esteem. It really is, you know. I leave here walking on clouds. I don't feel like the... You know, just the loser from the Boss Tones.
No.
For the time we spend together, I feel like somebody.
Well, I love the Boss Tones, and Drew loves me, so you do the math. All right.
I'm going back to Panama City in about a week, where we spent a glorious weekend with these guys.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought we were going...
Oh, you're going to Florida again?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that spring break stuff coming up again? What are you doing down there?
Give it a talk down there.
All right. So it's not MTV involved or anything?
No.
And I shouldn't have even said that?
No.
All right.
When are you going down there? We're going to North Carolina.
The next week.
Really?
Yeah. Then I'm going to Alaska.
Jesus Christ.
From Panama City.
You were talking about not seeing your kids and your wife and all that, but you were traveling everywhere.
Are you going to do a talk in Alaska, too?
Yeah. University of Alaska.
Really?
Yeah.
They even aware of you there? Are you on their radar up in Alaska?
Evidently.
Are they listening right now? And
we
I'm
have
insulting
a station
them?
In Anchorage, yeah.
Hello, Fairbanks.
We would. we might get a call from from Alaska.
My balls are cold.
They're stuck to my leg.
Anytime I
run hot water on them.
Yeah, I put my girl's eye out with a
Javier?
Yeah?
You're 24?
Yeah.
What's up?
What's going on, guys?
Hey.
Real quick question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Me and my girl are trying to have a baby.
Yep.
We got a daughter. She's 4 years old. We're trying to have another one. And I was wondering if there's any way we can improve our chances of having a boy.
Yeah, there. You can go to a fertility center, reproductive center, and they can get you a boy.
No, but...
There's a new technique
Black
called,
or Cuban, but they'll get you one.
No, they get you a boy with your sperm. There's a new technique called microsort.
A boy's a boy, Adam.
Yeah, that is about 90% probability of success with getting females and about 75% with women. With the males, rather.
What's it called? Micro what?
Microsort.
Microsort, and they just sort it out.
Yeah, they sort out the males.
Well, how do they do that? Now, you say it was about 90 to get a male.
90 to get a female and 75 to get a male.
So if you want a female, you're in real good shape these days. I mean, if you're hell-bent on it.
Mm-hmm.
How do they do that?
The sperm absorbs a dye which attaches to the DNA, and when exposed to laser light, the dye fluoresces. And then this procedure is able to pull out those fluorescing sperm.
Are you reading that?
Yes, I was.
Oh, because it's hard to tell.
You brought the literature
with you?
I just happen to have some here, yeah.
Drew, usually his natural cadence is so robotic and mechanical, it's actually hard to tell when he's reading.
Unbelievable.
Which is technique.
It's good, though, because you could be reading off a teleprompter or just reading on the phone book, and no one knows whether you're actually talking or not.
The X chromosome will fluoresce more brightly than those with the Y. The flow cytometer is able to pick up these differences in brightness and separate the sperm as they move through the machine.
I want to plumb.
So once they're illuminated, then the machine can
sort them.
Eliminate.
Yeah.
Now you have a what?
An X and a Y sperm.
Right. So now they're separated.
Yeah.
And now what? Stuff back into the penis?
You stuff back into the vagina. Actually, right up the cervix.
You go right in there.
Yeah.
Turkey based.
Then it's like they're being artificially inseminated at that point.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow, so you can do that. Now, does that feel, I don't know, is it weird like when you're looking at your kid and he's like 13 and it's a boy or girl? I guess not. It's the same thing, right?
The question is whether or not we're monkeying with the health of populations. It's going around like this. I mean, nature set this up so the right sperm is supposed to get to the destination. So we might be weakening the population.
What, right, you mean so that there's a balance.
No, the nature set it up to have the highest probability of success for this species, human species.
Right, right.
And we're screwing around with that a little bit, so we might screw up the health of the population.
Right, right. In this culture, this culture less so than other cultures, I think we'd be seeking the males out. I mean, I think if you're in like some Arab cultures, it'd probably be 95%. Thank God they're over there and they're still just putting the final touches on the Flowbee from a technological standpoint. they're scientists in some basement in Iraq and Saudi Arabia, and it's like, we have invented the Flowbee, and they're just finishing it up so that we don't have to worry about them with the sperm separation and stuff like that. Thank God we're smarter than everybody. We get all this stuff first, so we get to sort of figure out the ramifications and implications, and then we go
positive or negative.
Yeah, you know, we're like the world's parents. We're like, let me see that gun. Is that now what's it shoot? It shoots a little disc. Now they say that's for 13 and a not sure if Iraq could handle this. Mexico almost choked on a Super Bowl last week, honey. Are you kidding me? No. And we're Saudi Arabia. I think that trampoline's a little dangerous for those people. Let's just hold it back on this stuff. No, we're not going to give them one of these. It's so funny. We got to figure out what they can have and what they can't have.
And I bet in this country, people are not going for more male or more female. They're kind of going for perfect. I don't want all girls or all boys. I want the perfect family. I want a certain number of boys.
Yes, I would say that there's always probably a little higher with the fellas.
Maybe.
Because I'll tell you why. Because most guys, I don't mean 95% of guys, I mean 65% of guys would say they'd like a boy. Mm-hmm. And a slightly higher percentage of women, I think, would like a boy, too, because they realize what a pain in the ass they were, mm-hmm. and their sister was, mm-hmm. and their mom is, and all that kind of stuff, and they hate their friends and everything, and they want a boy, too.
Women hate women. That's
they hate women, yeah. So they don't want to hassle with some broad borrowing their mascara. So, I mean, that's the way my wife explained to me. So, I don't know if it'd make a big difference, though, in this country, but I'll bet in many other countries of the world that the poor... the more likely you might want to
this
have.
This Microsort thing just got offered here in Southern California. I think it's one of the maybe two or three centers in the world right now doing it.
How much?
I don't know. Yeah, see?
You give me a hustler, a flashlight,
and a paper plate.
I think I can figure this out. I'm almost sure I can offer the same service.
Same price here.
I'm going to need a blowgun, a hustler, some Nivea, and a black light.
You can check out www.microsort.com if you're interested.
All right.
Or you can
call me. Well, you know, you guys know where to get me. Julia?
Yeah.
You're 29?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, I called you guys like 6 years ago. And I don't know if they filled you in or anything, but at the time I was going through a divorce because my husband had raped a woman. And I had questioned you about custody hearings because his mother was suing me for custody and visitation of my daughter at the time.
Mm. Well, who did he rape?
He raped a woman. I don't know. I wasn't welcome at the trial. And so I don't know who she was. She was a young woman, and he got a 55-year sentence.
Wow. 55 years?
55 years.
Wow. Oh, so
he served 3 years.
Whoa.
Oh, really?
This 55-year sentence. And actually, he showed up at the last visitation, and he had been out 5 months, and I had no idea.
Huh. Okay, well, let me get this straight just for a second.
Yeah.
You told us all this 6 years ago?
Yeah, but actually, I was asking Dr. Drew about custody questions, and I was filling you in about how I was paying my bills at the time, and I was telling you that he had gone away, and I was about 5 months pregnant, and I was hustling high school boys to pay the bills. Do you remember me?
No, but we deal with a lot of nut jobs on this show.
I know you do. I know you deal with a lot of idiots, and I'm one of them, and I'm proud to say that.
Oh, baby.
But I was, at the time, I was
desperate.
I quit when I was 5 months pregnant, but I was hustling the high school boys to pay my bills at the time. And
yeah. How do you do that? How do you hustle? What's
it's
he
tough
got
to
for?
Hustle a high school boy.
What? I mean,
they weren't being hustled.
Yeah, but what's the guy pay you in, like, chapstick and peachy folders? Like, what?
No, you go to the local wealthy high schools and you say, because you know they're playing pickup after school, and you say, I bet you 20, I can beat you to 21. And you beat them, and they got to pay you, and then the other guy gets pissed off.
All right, hold on.
She's hustling them at basketball.
This is like pregnant girls can't jump kind of thing. Like, she's hustling them at basketball?
I thought she was hooking.
I swear, because I'm like, why didn't I remember? I thought I remembered every good hooking story.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basketball?
All right.
Or cards?
No, they're playing horse or whore?
21.
Oh, 21.
Mm-hmm. All right. Cards?
No. 20,
it's basketball.
21. Yeah. Right. But here's the thing about 21 is it's not just horse. You know, it's not just setting up for set shots. There's some rebounding and some dribbling and some jump shots.
Pregnant?
Adam, there's some ass kicking going on. I was beating their ass. I was getting paid. But that's not my question.
Hold on a second.
Hold on. I almost refuse to believe that a five-month... Oh, and by the way, I don't know why, but I keep picturing that commercial for, like, they used to have these women's FootJoy pumps or something where they're playing basketball. They used to run the hell out of this thing. Where
looks like a pump, feels like a sneak.
That's right, dude. But anyway, I almost refuse to believe that a chick who was 5 months pregnant was beating these high school guys who obviously were into basketball at basketball and making enough to pay the bills, so to speak.
No sex involved.
And you just show on back up the next day and everyone's game to play you again? I mean, don't you have to go to another high school?
Day after day, yeah.
And, all right. So, anyway, Julia's clearly insane. Julia?
Yeah.
All right, I believe some of what you're saying.
You're cracking me up. You said the same thing 6 years ago. You said, I'm imagining this 6-foot-1 pregnant woman and her hush puppies. Where you said hush puppies. I just about died.
I didn't say hush puppies.
That would be you,
hush puppies. You
why don't you play basketball?
But it just sounds funny.
No.
Well, because my question was, it was a custody question at the time, but I ended up...
All right, but wait a minute. Your husband just raped somebody unknown to him and unknown to you and got 55 years, and then they let him off in
three
years.
Well, what happened was is he did rape a woman, and she... the idiot that he was, I affectionately refer to him as Sperm Boy, so I don't actually really like to call my ex-husband. But he
What's up with
went
your phone?
Back to the same area from which he raped her, and she went up to a cop and said, oh my gosh, that's his car. And they arrested him.
Yeah, we got the part where he was arrested.
Right.
Yeah. The part
why did he only do three,
Why did he only do 3 years on a 55-year sentence?
It's sort of a long story. I'll sum it up for you. They had a mistrial because he ended up being related to one of the jury members. So they did a mistrial, then they did another trial, and he was found guilty again. But then he did something called an Alford plea. And I don't know if you're familiar with that. I myself am not really familiar with it, but it's enough that they let you off on the evidence present. But because she didn't want to go through another trial, she would not show up again at a second trial, and they let him off. So he got out, but then got like a 5-year probation where he couldn't, whatever, probation. I have no idea.
All right.
You know, and I called the district attorney, and I'm like, were you going to tell me? And he's like, that's not my job.
All right.
To tell me that he was out. So I really don't know, but he took an Alford plea, and he got out.
All right.
She's got a fascinating life.
I know.
Yes, she does.
Really, that's based on Batman's butler.
Yeah, Alfred. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a long story. I could tell it. But anyway, it's on Encore TV.
But I was dating somebody at the time, and Dr. Drew told me, don't do it. Don't do it. I don't think you should go back into another relationship because I had gotten out of, of this relationship.
How'd the new one go?
That's back
when
Drew
cared.
We've
been married 6.5 years, and we have 4 girls. We have 4 girls.
Oh.
We had a boy, and we got all girls.
I told you, don't do it.
You knocked out 4 goddamn kids in the last 6 years, and you're nuts?
I've been pregnant the entire 6 years.
What are you doing? What is it?
How do we love each other? My husband was cured of his contagion, so we're not going to have any more.
Yeah, but how about birth control?
He's cured of his contagion. He went in.
I understand. Contagion. His sexually transmitted disease, pregnancy.
That's what he calls it? Okay.
How are the girls at Hoop?
What's your husband do?
He's a molecular biologist. He's serving in the Navy right now as a lieutenant.
Okay, so he's making $900 a month and you got 8 kids. Okay, baby, listen, there's a certain kind of nutty, cool, genius, screwed up, white trash, hoopster kind of thing you got going on. You should really have a perfume named after you. Kind of young, kind of wow,
Julia.
Kind of fat, kind of cow, Julia.
Kind of rape, kind of basketball.
The Boston's will do the thing.
Yeah.
All right, listen, I don't even know what you're quite.
By the way, I'm 6'1". I weigh 150 pounds.
All right, what? I stop with it.
Call in another 6 years. I'm dying here.
Yeah,
you're fat.
True, please. Now, so the question is custody?
Yes, because we're moving back to the state in which.
All right, this guy's a felon, ex-felon. He doesn't want anything to do.
Is he a lieutenant? I kind of lost it. Or is there a
molecular biologist?
Lieutenant rapist?
No.
There's two guys.
New guy. They're happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great. So
we were telling her not to go into rebound mode.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what you said 6 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. And 4 kids later. Jesus Christ. What is it with the nut jobs and the cranking out of the kids? And it's one thing. I mean, it's one thing, you know, like the stupid and the poor and the sort of disenfranchised of the world. It's one thing if they just had poked out a kid every 4.72 years or something, you know, but it's weird when they crank them out, you know what I mean? And with each kid becomes like tossing another sandbag on them and they're in quicksand. It's like they're already having
anvils.
She's gonna put together a real
Drew, wait, stop crapping on my
team.
Correct me on my good
it's
point.
good
she's gonna get a great little basketball team, women's basketball team together.
Hustling.
If they can play like mom. I know, when she said hustling.
I know, we all go there.
Yeah.
All right, Dickie here from the Boston's. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dear friend, Dickie Barrett from the mighty, 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 mighty Boston's is our guest tonight.
There it is.
Dickie had to get up very early this morning and fly in from Boston.
The was. I think I can give you a good one. Before the end of the show, Anderson, I'll give you a new one of those.
So, Dickie's...
nice, isn't it? It's like butter. Reminds me of silk.
Dickie's going on just about 24 hours of being awake. And Drew and I always talk about this. you'd think it just at some point, from birth, you're screwed with this. You know what I mean? Think you start getting into your later 30s, and it's like, all right, couldn't I just sleep 10 hours one day, and then the next day I wouldn't need any sleep, and then I'd just sleep 12 hours a day after that. I'll be cool during that one day.
No.
Now, feel like hell.
Yeah.
Sinatra
never slept.
Well, once in a while, guys have those tickers and those metronomes. That just tick,
they need
tick.
Like 3 hours, and that's it, 2 hours.
Aristotle, but Onassis never slept.
But they don't seem to be bothered by it.
No, that's just their brain.
Donald Trump, 4 hours. Yeah. Sleep, that's all he needs.
I can get by on five, but I'm not great.
Yeah.
I'm not good.
You're not Trump either.
No, I'm not good, no.
No, no. A lot of those days.
You're a little bit like Onassis.
I got one coming up Sunday. I'll be getting up at 5 to head to the airport Sunday. Oh, that's a good time.
Why?
Because I gotta go to North Carolina.
I know. I'm gonna take an 11 o'clock flight. Are you filming on Sunday?
You guys don't fly anymore together?
No, I scream all the time, Drew. We'll talk. We'll all talk right during the commercial. Believe me, this went through. I mean, I brought it up.
This is why I have my wife do this stuff.
Right.
Because she really actually takes care of me in the travel.
Yeah.
The rest of them are just, all they're worried about is, well, we just got to get him there. He might miss a flight. Like, no, come on. Let's get him there rested in one piece and not frazzled.
All right, listen, I'll just get loaded on the plane. Sorry.
Frank, I'm not frazzled either.
No.
Hey, you pulled off pretty well.
Oh, thank you very much.
Frank, you're 16. What's up?
Yeah, first, could I tell you, Adam, that I love your show. And me and my girl, we watch it all the time.
Man Show.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's the show right there.
Thank you.
Well, my question is, my girlfriend's 16, and I wanted to know how long could we have sex until she has a baby because she's pregnant and she's 6 months pregnant.
You don't want the kid to be crowning. That's
If you feel skull, line. It's time to pull out.
It actually wouldn't be skull. It'd be the soft part of the...
Oh, really?
Before the pieces of the skull come together.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So they're like the plates, the continental plates.
Yeah, coming together.
Yeah. Okay. And how pregnant is she now, Frank?
She's 6 months.
6 months. And how old is she?
16.
17. I'm 16.
Oh, she's 17. God. All right. That's good planning on your part there, buddy. And what are you guys going to do? Get married and raise the kid?
Yeah, well, she's going to be moving in with me when the baby's born.
Mm-hmm.
Why not now? Why not get things rolling?
Oh, she has to get some things settled out at her house.
Like what?
With her parents and stuff.
Like telling them she's pregnant?
No, they know that she's pregnant. They just want to, I want to get a job and get my money.
Right.
And you
want to get that baby seat in your moped, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to save up for that. All right. Okay, so I'm going to say a couple things, Frank. What's done is done. You're doing the right thing. You're getting together, you're getting a job, you're doing all that kind of stuff. Fine. But you guys are in grave danger of having another kid by the time you're like 17 and a half. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's what we don't want you to do.
All right.
I mean, if you really think about it, they have their kid. They have a couple of tough years. Yeah. But Frank finds a job and starts learns a trade and gets on his feet. Mm-hmm. And they stay together.
That can happen, yeah.
Stuff works out.
Yeah.
No problem. But the problem is we start piling the kids on.
No, you're screwed.
And so now you're 21 and you got four kids. And now you're in too deep. All right, so Frank, you learn your lesson. All right, made a little slip up, but after she has the kid, get her on some birth control.
Take it properly.
You get a job, fight to keep it.
Use a condom.
Next thing you know, you got a success story here.
All right.
Not let her get pregnant again, Frank.
All right, but you can have sex up until pretty far into it, right?
All the way to the end, provided that there isn't sort of any complications of the pregnancy.
All right. Let's talk to Jade, who's 17. Jade.
First of all, I love your guys' show.
Thanks.
Oh, my God.
I love when Anderson has to move.
She's been on hold for an hour and a half.
That's great. That was a she?
Yeah. Well, lesbian, so sort of.
Kelly Osbourne?
Somewhere in that gray area. That gray flannel area of the lesbians. She used the F word and the S word. Let's see, how long was she on the air, Drew?
11 seconds.
11 seconds. They figure it took me a second to cut her off.
Yeah, 10 seconds.
So in 10 seconds, she got the F word and the S word in.
That's
got
to be a record.
I think it's a new one for us, yeah. Eric?
Yeah, what's up, man?
You're 36. What's up?
Make it clean.
quick and short because I know you guys don't want to hear all the crap. All right, I'm having a great sex life right now, right? I mean, real good. Mm-hmm. And I'm whacking it a lot,
and I'm
digging it a lot. And I talked to a couple people, and someone says, "Oh man, you know what? You're sick, man. You're a pervert, and all this stuff." And I'm just trying to see, man. And you know, am I sick? Am I a pervert, or is it all right?
Well, how often are you beating off?
Sometimes, usually 1 to 3 times a day. But
you want to be ashamed of yourself?
Yeah. And
I'm having a good sex life right now. I mean, real good. It's
how often?
Oh
my God!
All right, he just dropped the S bomb again. But Frank,
he's 36.
Frank sounds like a delight. Yeah, he's a kid. He doesn't know. It's only 36.
He may be sexually compulsive. He may just be the high sex drive. I couldn't get from what I was.
Right, who knows? Who cares? Don't
I
get
think
anyone
he's
pregnant.
A foul mouthed pervert.
Let's not take any more calls for us tonight.
All right. We're going
to
take a
break. Just talk to Dickie.
We're going to talk to Dickie. We'll hear Boston songs, and we'll talk to Dickie some more after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dickie Barrett from the mighty, 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 mighty Boston's is in here tonight. Always a delight to see Dickie. And I'd like to give the band some plugs. I got some dates coming up, and I've seen the Boston's in large venues, small venues, and medium venues, and it's always a great show.
Sitting around your living room.
Always. I've seen them at home. Well, on television. I've seen them in small, more intimate clubs. I've seen them in big arena-type places.
You play the trumpet with them.
No, I played the trumpet with Save Ferris.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Did you really?
Yeah, sort
That's
of.
Unbelievable. For how long were you doing that for?
We toured for about 18 months. No.
Who would look sillier than him and Save Ferris?
With a flugelhorn?
I just jumped up on stage.
Like a silly-looking horn?
The Boston's.
He jumped up on stage.
Great live band. And not only... even like I said, you got all the horns going and everything. You got Joe dancing around. Wait a minute, who's
Ben.
Dancing?
Ben's dancing.
Sorry, Joe.
Yeah.
You got Ben dancing around, which is at first you're like, who the F is this guy? And then about 10 seconds into it, you're going nuts. So that's good. And Dickie is
the golden tone,
sweating through his bad suits. But here's what I'm saying. It's a good time.
All right.
It is a good time.
Despite the picture you just painted.
You will. I guarantee a good time for one and all at a Boston's concert. Yep. So let me just tell you where to find them. We go to their website at www.boston's.com and find out when they're going to be on tour and when it's going to be.
You want to mention a couple dates there?
Yeah, they're going to be at Pittsburgh.
I'm interested.
On 3/11, on March the 11th, they'll be in Pittsburgh at the Metropole, and they're going to be in Cleveland at the Agora Theater on the 12th, 13th, Cincinnati, 14th, Columbus, Ohio, Chicago on the 15th, and Detroit on the 16th. So go to, again, bostones.com and find out when that date is and where you are. And Jay?
Yeah.
You're 21. What's up?
Well, I was molested at a very young age by my older brother.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since, I masturbate, even if I don't want to. It's like it's an addiction, kind of.
Yeah, it's sexual compulsion. Yeah. And that's a common...
I don't masturbate with my hand all the time, though. I hump pillows.
Yeah,
I know it's really weird, but I've heard it on your show. Some other people do it, but it's really
weird. Well, that's probably something you got into when you were a little kid. And what happens when a kid has been sexually abused, they become hypersexual and sort of inappropriately sexual at that young age. And they don't quite know how to manage it. And they sort of expose themselves. And they masturbate strangely. And once you get that sort of wired in, that's how you masturbate. And there you go. Now you're kind of sexually compulsive.
Yeah.
And
I have a normal sex life with my girlfriend.
Yeah. That's good.
Whose pillow are you humping?
My own.
That's nice.
I wipe it on a sock, you know.
Oh, that's the good times.
And it doesn't get on the pillow?
Oh, I'm trying to be careful, you know?
You work it out, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fastidious.
All right. Well, that's good. Good times.
Neat
times, you know.
I just wonder if there's anything I could do about that, you know?
How are you related?
About humping pillows?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of weird, you know?
Yeah,
why would anybody do that?
Well,
Oh, well, hold on a second. Hey, there's a bogus quality.
There's a bogus quality, yeah.
Call.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I used to hump pillows, too, but I've moved on. I moved on to beanbags and chairs and then futons, and I'm now up to outdoor swings, porch swings.
Didn't you describe something of having turned the inside of the beanbag chair, all those little tiny little styrofoam spherules, into like paper mache or something, or some sort of cement? Isn't that what happened?
No, I'll tell you the God's honest. That was a friend of mine.
And he used to poke a hole in the beanbag chair.
Well, I didn't poke a hole in it. I got a zipper.
Oh, and then he'd put his penis into the styrofoam balls?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it because the guy called me and yelled at me for talking about it on the TV show.
How does anybody know? Did you mention his name?
I think I did, yeah.
Oh.
And he works environment where people... It was bad. He called me and yelled at me for a long time.
You never told me this.
Oh, yeah. He called and yelled at me for a long time because I said his name, and he works in a situation where there's people around that would watch the show. And so I promised him I'd never do it again. And then they re-ran the Loveline episode about 4 months later, and he called Steamy. He was, like, on fire. He was going to sue me and stuff. And I'm like,
Oh, my God, poor guy.
Like he didn't know it was a rerun.
Oh.
He just heard through the
grapevine. Well, let's say
it was you. Okay. All right. Yeah.
And so you turned it into cement, or what happened to the interior of the beanbag?
Yeah, but it wasn't me, so that's the problem. Oh, I don't know what
happened.
You
can say it was me.
All right, Dickie, what happened to the... Yeah, see, Drew, here's the problem in your logic.
I thought you knew what the outcome was. So.
Well, listen.
After a month, I had a beanbag chair full of oatmeal.
Yeah, I mean, you peed off enough in a beanbag chair, eventually it becomes a waterbed, right? I mean, I don't know. Drew, do the goddamn jizz math, would you, and leave me alone? Please. Jay?
Not a bogus call.
All right, I'm sorry for Drew and his beanbag. Okay.
All right, but if you want to get some treatment for the sexual abuse, you may find that some of these sexual behaviors settling down automatically. If you actually are sexually addicted, if you're having consequences that are troubling you from sexual behaviors, you can look into SA and do a 12-step program, and you'll find that does help with these behaviors that are so troubling.
All right. Ryan?
Hey.
Hey, you're 16. You're calling from Alaska.
Yeah. Ah, right.
Drew's heading up there in a few weeks.
Yeah. Where is he going?
University of Alaska.
Or is he going to, like, Anchorage?
Yeah, Anchorage.
Anchorage? Yeah, I was just...
Nome.
I was going to say, it's really not that cold. It's like 45 degrees and we have no snow.
No snow, huh?
No snow. It's Alaska. Washington's gotten more snow than we have.
Huh. All right. What are you doing up there, Ryan?
We got wasted with snow in Boston.
I'm just listening to your show. I was just going to say, I was going to tell him some nice place to eat and stuff to do.
Yeah, like, I'm going to
probably
hours.
Be there about 14
yeah.
hours.
Not even that.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's really not that bad.
I got a father-daughter thing I got to get into the next morning.
All right, don't go there for 10 bucks then, you retard. Ryan.
Yeah.
Go see Drew in Anchorage when he comes out there.
Okay, where is he going to?
University of Alaska.
University.
How many colleges you got over there that this is confusing?
In Anchorage, we got two or three. I'm not sure.
Okay, he's going to the University of Alaska.
He'll be at the college that Drew's at.
It's 2 weeks from tomorrow.
2 weeks from tomorrow?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, and is there anything you're looking to do? Or
well, he's going to be playing a club called The Hole. It's on campus. It's the UA Hole. It's it's right in the center of campus.
I was playing the accordion.
It's a brown building, sunken in. You can't help but see him there.
He's hoping to get a plate of walrus down at the Igloo Hut.
I don't know. Drew, he's going, Ryan, he's going to the University of...
The U of A Hole?
U of A Hole. Yeah.
That's so immature.
I know. It's funny. No, it's not U of A Hole, you idiot.
Oh.
It's U A Hole.
Oh, okay, U A Hole. You a-hole?
Drew, why do you got to crap on? Even my a-hole jokes you crap on. You of a-hole. What happened to you, Drew?
It's the U of a-hole.
Yeah, no, it's U a-hole. Yeah, all right. It's just better U a-hole, I think.
Hey, Frank, can we play a song?
Frank, oh, yeah. What song are we playing? You got a song you want to play?
Go Big.
Yeah, you want to play Go Big?
Go Big?
All right, Frank, hold on a second, buddy.
All right. Anderson wants to hear a Boston song. I think Anderson's a big Boston fan, mm-hmm. yes?
Big mm-hmm. Dickie fan.
Big Dickie fan.
Thanks, Anderson.
Well, you can find the Big Dickie at the UA Hole. All right. Here's a little something from the Boston's.
Do you want to go big? Do you want to go back? Do you want to get way in yourself with your integrity?
Boss Tones, everybody. Dickie's here tonight. www.bosstones.com to find a venue that they'll be showing up soon, hopefully near you. All right, let's talk to Frank, who's 25. Frank?
What's up, Adam?
What's happening, Frank?
Nothing much. First off, Dickie, you guys are great. Been hearing you guys for a long time. Hope to hear you for many years to come.
Thanks, Frank.
Hey, no problem. No problem. All right, here's the deal. Long story short, I'm a raging alcoholic. Not any treatment right now, but I've been off the booze for like a year. Kind of like bouncing back and forth, like kind of making up for it with other drugs and stuff. But no big deal, you know, good times, whatever.
Yeah, sure.
Question is, though, I used to do like the whole party scene, you know, go out to the club, that sort of thing. Kind of a dorky kid in high school, didn't really talk to the girls a whole lot, you know.
What's the question, Frank?
What's that?
What's the question?
Question is,
just do it!
Didn't have a lot to do with them back then, but when I was doing the whole club scene thing, meeting a lot of girls, having a good time, been off booze, having trouble interacting with people since then.
Uh-huh. So you've lost your confidence because you're sober.
Exactly.
Well, you gotta get back on the booze, right, Drew? Drew's nodding his head feverishly.
Good times, right? Good times.
Well, I mean,
it's a very familiar story, Frank has.
Yes, obviously, many people go through this, and you're going to be one who goes through it as well. I don't know if there's any magic answer, Drew. What is the answer to this?
I do know that when people actually engage in a program of recovery, magically these kinds of complaints go away.
Funny thing is, though, before I had the problem, high school got drunk once. Never did it again. You know, swore alcohol off for the rest of my life. Had problems interacting with people then. Alcohol was the magic answer, though. You know, there was no problems after that.
Well, you may have a social phobia.
Hold on, but then what did Drew just say?
I know. Let's keep going. He just wants to make his point.
He made his point 15 times.
He may genuinely have a social phobia, and there are medications to help with that, but a lot of alcoholics have stories like this, as Dickie alludes to. And again, I've seen over and again people, when they actually engage in an honest program of recovery, a lot of these things seem to take care of themselves. They start attracting more interesting people, start having more satisfying relationships. The whole club hookup thing isn't so appealing anymore. They start cultivating a better interpersonal life sort of automatically. And sometimes a lot of these anxieties about being social go away.
You guys see Sodom get interviewed by Rather yesterday. He's trying to take a little political turn.
He is?
Did you see it? No, I didn't see it. I heard about it.
Yeah. Did you see anything? I saw
bits and pieces of it. You know what I realized? I hate to admit it, but I realized how... I guess we're talking about... we're talking about Don King today with a couple of guys over at Jimmy's show.
And I saw that, too. Don King over at Jimmy's show.
Don King is co-hosting with Jimmy. Yeah. And Don King's a guy who's probably bilked quite a few guys out of quite a few bucks in his day.
Yeah,
He's got a couple murders on his resume. One with a gun, I think. The other is by Don's boot.
Only in America.
Yeah. Now, the point is Don... smiles ear to ear, and he waves those flags around, and you can't help but love him. Yet, you do know he's put a couple guys in the ground back in the day, and...
it was self-defense. Those were bad guys.
Showed up at a couple
of... He may be responsible for Muhammad Ali being sideways, too.
He showed up at a couple of fights with a couple of fighters and left with the guy who won more than once, and it's really his track record is he's not the kind of guy you'd want... the kind of guy you'd want watching over your affairs while you went out of town, kind of thing. But yet, he waves those flags, he flashes that smile.
And all's forgotten.
And all's forgiven and forgotten. Yeah. And I realize what amazing capacity we have as human beings for this.
Yeah.
And I'm watching Saddam Hussein, and he's like, yes, Mr. Rather, you... I have nothing against the American people and the Iraqi people. And you're watching for like 5 minutes, you're going, seems... It seems like a... Well, listen, I'm not saying I want to party with the guy, but he's a decent enough guy. I mean, look at him over there. He's calling him Mr. Bush. He's not calling anyone any names. He shook Rather's hand. You know, he stood up when he came by. And
he's dressed well, too.
He's dressed well. He's well-groomed. Nice, he looks sort of agreeable. He's just sort of... semi-reasonable explanation for a few things, and maybe I was wrong about this guy. And then, then you see some guy interviewed who was some nuclear scientist who wouldn't build him the bomb, you know, on 60 Minutes, and they beat him and tortured him and beat his family and tortured him and killed everybody and experimented on everybody and dropped, you know, chemicals on the Kurds. And, you know, he's like, you know, his son is basically all about just sort of killing and raping. And, you know, he's just a horrible, 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 tyrannical guy. But you watch him sitting there in a decent suit with a little Grecian formula in the hair, and about 4 minutes into it, you're like, he's a decent enough guy. And I just realized humans really have that capacity in a scary, scary way. And it's interesting. I mean, we felt that.
That's how we get a Hitler. No one could see the bad part. They just couldn't believe it.
You saying he was bad? Wait a minute, Drew.
But the point is, that's what we have.
The haircut and the mustache,
the dupes of history, you know, Chamberlain and the Prime Minister of England stuff, were the equivalent, doing the equivalent of what the French are doing now with this guy.
Yeah. Well, you know, the French.
I think there are, like, people that can like, rip a guy's head off with their hands. It's like if we sent somebody else instead of Dan Rather, like a lookalike.
Well, that was my plan.
Trained to tear his heart out.
Here's my plan.
How about the cameraman just to have something?
Now, I'm sure they do check these guys, but here's, and they do use their cameraman. But here's the deal.
It would be a suicide mission, but it, like if I was trained, I could just jump across the table right now and just rip your head off at him.
Right, right.
But I can't do it. Don't be afraid.
No, I'm okay. I'm cool.
And I have no reason to.
No, not at this point at the show. Maybe if I don't give the website out again. But, no, here's what I'm saying. Here's my plan. My plan is Dan Rather's too old. He's not trained. It's not going to work. But some of these guys are getting a little long in the tooth, and there's going to be a new breed of anchorman and national newsman showing up.
CIA training.
We get these guys in
Billy
infancy. We get these guys early. Yeah. And yes, we groom them, and this becomes like one of those crazy sci-fi movies where, yes, you know, we get him braces, we get his teeth straight, we get him voice and diction lessons, we put a clef in his chin, we show him how to walk with a book on his head, but the rest of the time he's throwing ninja stars and killing people with piano wire. And we get a whole slew of these guys. I want to do this with the Pope, too.
Ooh, good.
Because the Pope... Perfect. The Pope gets to go meet with everybody, and the Pope gets on our payroll and becomes our assassin, too. We have these news guys. Next, you know, whenever there's trouble, he just dispatch one of our guys. He wants to do a sit-down with you. He's very sympathetic. Next, you know, the guy's dead. That's the way it works. We keep breeding them.
The Wolf Blitzer story.
Yeah.
Did these guys live? My vision was... Dan would have to sacrifice himself when he jumped across the table.
Well, these guys would, but according to my plan,
so good,
my vision,
they're gone.
They're gone, but they never were alive. You see what I'm saying? Their whole life was building up to this day.
Yeah.
We get them early and we train them. Yeah. They understand that. They're sort of martyr slash... They're samurais.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll give their life for the cause. Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. Kamikaze newscasters.
That's the book. That's the movie.
We put a little chip in brain.
Kamikaze casters.
Kamikasters. Yeah. Kazakasters. Kazakasters. Okay.
Caster commies.
Okay.
No,
coaster.
It's not working.
No. Okay. We need a little chip in their brain. Believe me, this is going to work. And it'll work with the Pope, too. Because the Pope can get almost anything in under that hat of his, too. No one's going to ask for anything.
That ring. Poison on the ring.
But not the yarmulke cap that the Pope wears.
The bishop cap.
But the bishop cap.
Big one.
You can get a MAC-10 in there.
Oh, missiles.
Yeah. And he's bombing.
Well, you're not going to need missiles to take a guy out you're interviewing. But I'm saying you get like an AK-47 or sawed-off shotgun.
Acid.
Poison, yeah.
Yeah, acid.
And
poison.
The ring, the time they kiss the ring, some kind of deadly cyanide.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, how cool would it be if the Pope did a thing where he flipped the hat and then his knee went up and kicked it, and he grabbed a sawed-off that was right under a thing and did the pump thing with one hand while the hat was still in the air, and then pulled the, and you know what the Pope says? See in hell, as he squeezes the trigger.
I see the
river
dirt.
Schwarzenegger
is the Pope.
Yeah. All right. Drew, now it's not.
Accent's good.
Going too far. Dickie Barrett here from the Boston's. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dickie Barrett from the mighty, 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 mighty Boston's in here tonight. He's a little sleep deprived, so you got to forgive him.
It sounds like you're making apologies for me. That's why he's not so funny. Not very entertaining.
Hey, let's hear it. Let's get another wah.
You want another one? You ready, Anderson?
Don't overmodulate this time.
Oh, hold on. I'm going to get out of the way. I don't want to get hit with like a flip.
I think one more. Adam was talking.
Well, I was.
That was so strange that he was talking.
Well, I was. You didn't cue up.
I'm
going
to hold the mic.
All right, cue up. Cue up. All right, got it.
And?
Wah!
Still overmodulated.
Still overmodulated.
No, it's great though. I can fix it.
All right.
Yeah, can you tune that for me too?
All right, you want to hear beautiful singing like that? You go to a Boston's concert, everybody.
Middle-aged man, ladies and gentlemen.
You go to www.bosstones.com.
My mom's proud.
Oh, yeah. Oh, listen, you're so much more than you should have been already. So much more.
Who's talking? Tim. My idol.
Tim, you're 27.
Yeah, I wanted to make a comment.
All right.
On the weird ways of jacking off.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. When I was about, probably about 12, 13 years old, one of the things that I tried was I cut a small hole in a foam mattress that I had on my bed from when we had bunk beds. My brother and sister were still living at home.
Got to turn the radio down, Tim. It's effing with your cadence.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
But that's the way I used to take and masturbate for quite a few years.
Yeah.
Up until the time I came home from school one day and freaked out because my dad had went out and bought me a new bed.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I got all paranoid that he found the hole.
Oh, I thought you just missed the bed.
Hold on a second, Tim. I've never said this, but turn your radio back up a little bit. I like you better at the beginning. Did you do that?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, my God. Did he ever say anything?
No, but... Yeah.
You know what's amazing is think about how women hear those stories and they hear wah, 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 wah. They have no idea. Men put their penises in all kinds of things.
Oh, yeah.
It's weird, too, though, like when you're a kid. When you're a kid, it was no big deal, but when you got into high school and stuff, you'd come home and there'd be that feeling of someone went through your room or someone cleaned your room or someone did something in your room. And at first, it was like the first thought is, hey, someone was in here. And the second thought is,
oh, wait a minute. Yeah.
What did I they had, possibly?
Yeah. That, I had that we. Hash remember the pipe. Magazine we? Yeah, and a hash pipe and a we.
I believe it was pronounced ooey in those days.
Yeah. And no one knew how to pronounce this magazine. But the point is.
This is a good magazine.
Yeah. Your second thought was like, where's whatever? And then you have to go find it. It's really, you know, it'd be the best way if you were a parent and you wanted to find out where your kid's stash was, go in and clean the room. And then when they come home,
watch
them, because they'll go, oh, man, I wonder if they found the kids' box under the thing with the weight.
Video.
And they immediately
that.
Just slide under wherever the stash is, and they look and see if it's been molested,
I think they go through a series, like a checklist. Check out by the pillow, between the mattress, under the van.
You wouldn't even have to clean the kid's room. You just go in and shuffle a few things around
just
a
monitor
little
their movements.
My mother would have to clean
the room, right?
Well, you have to clean it first.
Yeah.
I hid everything out in the woods.
Oh, yeah.
The rubber in one of those green rubber boots.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
See, you know, it's funny because we talked to a fair amount of people and grew up in sort of rural areas, and they would stash stuff out in the woods outside.
Yeah.
Like their porn had mildew.
I remember when that whole Columbine thing happened and they had all those guns hidden. Not hidden, but just like in their room. And like my mother...
She would know.
I mean, I would panic about the boot in the woods.
Right.
Pardon me.
Well, now, so you had like a galosh?
Yeah. A galosh that was out in the woods, and I'd still think, you know, my mother's going to be walking through the woods and come across the galosh.
And know it's mine.
And then find my pipe and my Playboys.
And do you have a way to seal off the top of the boot so it wouldn't get
It kind of laid on its side and it did okay, you know, down the bottom, you put it down by the toe. It handled okay.
And
it looked like a discarded boot.
It was on the rock, so it's some balance on some rock.
And would you have to throw a few leaves on it before you split?
You'd make it look, you know, you'd clean it up like a little crime scene.
I just mean, was there enough? You didn't want your
brush
boot,
your tracks away.
You didn't want your boot found, right?
No, but no one.
It's
you know,
the woods. You're not gonna, it's the woods.
You see a boot, and you know.
All right, people
gonna
leave it alone.
It? Yeah,
yeah. It is. It is. It's funny every
but
once
I would
in
still
a while.
Panic that my mother would find that, and then I can't imagine that those. The parents of those kids couldn't find guns and bombs. And
yeah, I'm not sure if they were looking. But it is weird.
You have to open the door.
When you come across someone else's stash, it's very telling. You get pretty good read on the person.
Yeah.
And it's fair game. It's like, hey, you know, someone finds Dickie's boot with the Playboy and the hash pipe, it's theirs.
The Busby. A Busby and a one-hitter.
You conquered a nation at that point.
Everything from the joke shop.
Carly?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Carly.
What's up?
Okay, so this is my question. I have been dating this guy for a couple weeks, and around the first week that we were dating, you know, we fooled around, and I performed oral sex on him, and he...
You did what?
Performed oral sex.
Uh-huh.
Week one.
Right.
Yeah, one.
That's why women have to say that. And I performed oral sex on him.
It's like the penis is still in their mouth.
I perform oral sex.
I will. Excuse me, I'm getting hard.
He went from like super hard, like super erect, to totally limp, and he'd go like back and forth. And
during the oral sex.
Yeah.
How long did it take to fluctuate? How much time was going by?
It was probably like a minute or two.
So in a minute, he'd immediately go down.
Well, he was going back and forth, right?
Yeah.
And then a minute back up again.
Yeah.
Well,
I'd be like,
Drew, it was just sort of in that state. It was probably in an ever progressive state, you know, heading down, heading up.
I'm wondering, was it because he sort of wore out and started losing it?
No, it wasn't rock hard for 10 minutes and then started losing
Let
it.
Let me really put my mind around that. I'm trying to visualize this
penis. It's okay. No.
The way it works. Let me just really get it
what
in
do
my
you think?
Brain.
Maybe it's a technical issue.
I don't know. And so I was just like,
you know what I'm saying?
All right, well, hold on. Quiet down, Drew. I have no idea what you're saying.
Like one of those inflatable penises.
No.
No?
No. So it was going up and it was going down, and then how did it end?
Well, finally he got a rest and he stayed that way, and then he finished. But
right.
Like,
but it's like you say finally he got erect, but he had been erect a couple of times before that.
Right, yeah. But then he stayed that way and he finished it up. But I was like, are you tired? Is everything okay?
And well, and. How long did it take overall?
Probably like, I don't know, 6 minutes, 5 minutes.
So not a long time.
That's
no, it wasn't a very long time, but it was just kind of weird. In all my experiences, that's never ever happened.
Yeah, well, here's
the... It's happened a couple of times.
The same thing has happened a couple more times since.
With him. Mm-hmm. Okay, a lot of guys aren't BJ guys. And I don't know them. I don't condone it. I don't hang out with them. If I find out about these guys, I'll take a swing at them. But as it turns out, Drew being one of them, it's and so for the non-BJ guys who are just going to get a BJ, there's a little pressure. It's sort of like someone's. It's not their game exactly. And if that's all they're going to get, or they're in a situation where like they're in a car and it's the end of the date and that's what they're going to get, a little pressure on the guy. So he's kind of working it a little bit. There's some mind games and stuff, but there are handfuls of guys I know who can't even get off that way.
Mm.
And not Drew, no?
Who are these Martians?
Drew's not that guy. No. Drew could...
No
Drew,
preference there.
Right, but your dad could put an oven mitt on and beat you off while he watched Schindler's List, and you'd bust a nut like within 3 minutes, right? I mean, you're a passionate man. Like, your dad could take an oven mitt, he could face you, and you could watch Schindler's List in the reflection of his glasses, and you would still eventually get off. Yep. Drew is a man of supreme passion, Dickie. It's time the nation knows. Carly?
Yeah.
All right, but you have not had sex with him.
No, well, this is what I'm going to. And then we did earlier this week, and the same thing happened.
During sex?
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Is he on any medication?
No. And I asked him again, are you tired?
How old is he?
Well, but okay. But
stop asking him.
Asking him all your goddamn questions, Carly.
The minute she asks him,
same question.
Are you tired? Are you tired? You know what he's going to do? He'll get it up when he's banging your dead corpse. Believe you me. It's all the guy's going to need. You ask him if he's tired one more time before he just sees red and takes a table leg to you and then humps you.
Yeah, well.
And that's going in the ass, too. Believe you me.
Are you tired, little man?
All right, let's
I mean, after a while, it was a while that it consistently kept happening. I was like,
how old is the guy?
Are you gay?
How old is
he? Are you tired?
Tired?
What's wrong with you?
How old?
24.
He's 24.
Okay, wait a minute. We got to talk. I swear, chicks, I should have a seminar. It's like, stop asking a guy these questions. Believe me, he wishes he was tired. He's tired of you asking whether he's tired. That's what he's tired of.
What's wrong with you?
Carly, now see, Carly's funny because Carly's like, I've done this a lot before, and I've never happened. Like,
she's a master.
The thing is, like, women are real concrete. Like, if they pulled a slot machine and it got three lemons like
every
three times, then it's like it happened twice, then it should happen 1,000 times. That's how they think. That's why they're not good in the sciences.
But Carly could take it the other way and start trying to like, come on, baby, come on, come on. You know what I mean? As opposed to asking questions. No, she starts to, no,
what's
no.
wrong with you?
Just nothing, Carly.
One time, seriously.
Carly,
you said you did it twice.
Here's your job. Enjoy yourself. That's it. That's your
job.
Does he give
you oral sex?
Yeah.
All right. Are you so goddamn insecure that you can't handle a guy who's got a little problem down there?
No.
You think it's all you?
No.
Yes.
She knows
are.
It's not
no,
me.
You're insecure, Carly, and you're thinking, I'm hot, I'm young, no guy's ever had a problem with me, and what's up with this guy and his penis, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, baby. Yeah, you're hot, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and you pride yourself on being hot because that's kind of what you got.
Yeah, that's all I've got.
Right. What else are you doing?
What else am I doing?
Yeah.
Working and going to school.
Junior college?
Kind of. I go to trade school.
Trade school.
Wow.
What are you learning? BJs or male criticism or what is it?
Fashion design.
All right, baby. Listen,
you're
hot, and I know you can't handle this. And believe me, hot doesn't make a difference for guys. It puts pressure on them sometimes. Hot mixed with, this has never happened to me, mixed with, are you tired, are you tired, are you tired, gets the fluctuating penis. So if you're into the guy, Carly, just relax, enjoy
yourself.
Him whatever's cool. Hey, if it ain't happening for him tonight, give you a little oral, it's all good. Yeah, don't even talk about it, okay?
I don't even want to bring it up. I don't even want to have like a conversation.
No. You've already no. That feeling is not right. No.
Yeah, that's why. Not even
the feeling that you want to avoid it. Right. No feeling. Just stay. You know,
it's not me, is it?
And once that, it's like asking a guy who's sweating, "Are you nervous?"
Or a guy on a high wire going, "Is that tough? Are you unsteady? Are you okay?" You know what I mean?
I know. It strikes me that people, they should really teach this in school. Sort of, it's etiquette, but it's a little more and it's a little bit different.
Judgment.
But I think about it as performers, not you, Drew, but me and Dickie, as performers. People will say, like, one time I did that Blockbuster Awards and it was live. And I'd done live stuff. I don't care if live or not, whatever. But I must add, about 30 people come up to me and go, "Are you nervous? Are you nervous? It's live, you know. Are you nervous?" And there's 18, 19,000 people in the auditorium of the MGM. And I'd never done anything of that scale before. And like Mike Tyson sitting in the front row. And it's live television and everything. And I wasn't really nervous about it. But by about the 13th person who asked me if I was nervous, I started getting angry at them. It's like, listen, I'm going out there in 20 minutes. God damn it. Stop asking me if I'm nervous. Yeah, like, what is that? And why has everyone got to take their crap and sort of dump it on you with that stuff? Like, this is her problem in the sense that she's insecure about it. Yeah. She looks at this as a slap in the face. She's insulted by this, and it's making her have to assess herself. Maybe she's not as hot as she thought.
She's
got to dump it on him. Right.
It's not me, is it? Yeah. Are you tired?
Are you tired? Are you nervous? What happened?
No, you're just not very good.
All right. Dickie here from the... And we'll be right back. Hey everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number. Dickie from the Boston Stones is here tonight.
Sitting in.
Vicky, dear, dear, dear friend. If you want to find out anything about the Boss Tones, they're going to be on tour, and they will come to a town near you. Go to www.bosstones.com, and you could do much worse than to find yourself at a Boss Tones concert. I'll tell you that right now.
It's a good time in these hard times.
Yeah, in these troubled times, you need something to put a smile on your face. That's right.
Need a place where you can go and feel safe.
Shay, what's up?
I'm calling because I'm having a bit of a problem. About 2 years ago, I was 260 pounds. I was a size 44.
Mm-hmm. Where do they stop with the ladies and the sizes?
You know, fortunately, I never got that high. I think the highest I've seen is a size 60.
60. All right.
And the, that's how big is that?
60, meaning about 500 pounds. Right?
Medium. I'm guessing.
Right. Okay, yeah. 60, because, like, you know, a model wears a size 4 or something, or?
Size 8, but they always switch it.
6'8". Yeah.
What size were you again? I'm sorry, Shay.
She was a 44.
I was a 44. In the past 2 years, I've gone down to a size 18.
All right.
So I've
good
dropped about
you.
Half the weight.
Mm-hmm. So you were 260.
And now I'm about 180, 190.
All right.
And a couple of years ago when I was that big, I was sitting around looking for a relationship long term. Mm-hmm. Well, now that I've dropped the weight and I'm still working on dropping more, it's just I've hit my plateau.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going out and I'm trying to find guys to date and mm-hmm. not get into something serious with them, just, you know, hang out with them, find out whether or not they're anyone I'd be interested in doing anything more with, but mm-hmm. not really getting serious.
Yeah.
Well, back then, I mean, the only thing I could basically find was
white guys.
Yeah, I'll give you a mercy.
Oh, yeah. Give me a little mercy bang, huh?
Yeah, and now I go out, and by even the second date, I'm getting the guys asking, so you want to move in together?
Hmm. Really?
Yeah, and it's really frustrating because that whole switch, it was a total turnaround in the way I saw life and the way I saw myself. And I know I'm not ready to be totally with the guy.
Hold on a second. Let me talk to my boys here for a second. 190, wanting to move in? Maybe they're looking for protection. That'd be my angle. You sleep by the door, baby.
Yeah.
All right. No, 190, definitely better than 260, but it's not like every guy you meet wants to move in at 190, right?
How many times has it actually happened?
I'm guessing into the 70s. All right. Shay? All right. Yeah. Well, look, I think now that you're in sort of the getting to the realm of normal size, you just go through the same things that everyone else goes through in a relationship. I mean, when you're 300 pounds, you're going to attract a certain breed of cat, and there's certain bylaws and certain rules you have to adhere to. But now that you're losing the weight, you're getting healthy, and you're sort of coming into the society or in a more normal size as society sees it, then you play by the same rules. Some guys want to move in on the second date. Other guys aren't interested, you know? I mean, what's the big deal?
It's, what can I do to find someone I can just hang out with and just have fun with?
Oh, they're out there.
I mean, even though I am 190, I get people asking me if I'm more like a size 12. I've always carried my weight very well.
Well, these are girls, though. Guys don't know what a 12 is.
Most guys don't, but some of my friends are gay and...
Oh, yeah. It's all coming to focus now.
Sorry, yeah.
That's different.
These are girls, right.
All right.
Like Adam said.
Yeah. Okay, so listen, Shay, what's up with you? Why are you so wounded? What happened?
Here's a pattern that people get into is that they were sexually abused. They use the weight.
Shay was?
Well, something happens. I'm just thinking of a pattern. They use the weight as a way of keeping intimacy away, and then when they lose the weight and they start getting going, they become sort of sexually compulsive. Is that your pattern?
No, I'm not out to go have sex with everyone under the sun.
Okay.
I'm out to go out and have fun and find someone that I can have a good time with I'm not going to have to worry about it turns into something huge and major and I have to...
All right, there's plenty of people like that out there. Yeah. And if you can't find them, then it's you.
Because that's how most people at 23 are. They're looking, not most guys at 23 are not looking for a relationship.
You sound.
Who I'm going out with, though, are closer to their 30s.
Okay. Well, then start dating guys younger, because that's what you want, is guys who just want to have fun.
Shay, what happened to you?
Guys I know who are my age.
All right, listen, we don't care. I don't care. Shut up. Just keep with the weight loss and enjoy yourself. And look, okay, we haven't talked about this in a little while, which is, you know, people calling saying, why are all guys this way? Yeah. Why are all girls this way? How come I can't find every guy wants this or wants that? Just everyone shut up with that crap.
I mean, she was cliche herself. When she was big, she was looking for, she said she's looking for long-term or someone she can hammer down.
Shay is angry.
Shay's like weird and angry, and something happened to her. And I don't mean she was molested or anything. I just mean she got, what are you doing there, origami, Dickie?
Leave me alone.
Stop that. You're making noise.
Adam can't stand anybody fidgeting with their hands, which I do all the time.
No, you make noise. That's why, Drew. No. Fidgeting with your hands, you punched a mic like a speed bag.
If I spin your phone around, you freak
out. Shush. Shay? What happened? Why so angry, baby?
I'm starting to come into the realization that I actually am a person of worth.
All right. What happened? Who did what to you? Who made you feel bad?
All my life, I was big, and the main reason for it was.
But you're fast, well.
Drew. Please.
I hate going with the whole parent thing, but no.
Go ahead and blame your parents.
No, my father was away in the Navy, and I never got to see him. But my mother was actually terrified of me and my brother, and she basically taught us how to escape into like fantasy realms, into eating, and kind of set that unhealthy pattern.
That's nothing
what we're talking about. Hi, Shay. Anyway, how about some therapy?
You're overweight.
Huh? Therapy?
Been there, done that, and they kept telling me I was fine.
Yeah. Okay, that's untrue. And we hear it. So keep doing it. All right? Been there, done that. Oh, shut up. I can't. Shay's angry and weird and whatever and blames. Okay, screw her.
Sometimes people are kicked out of therapy for not doing the work, and they always perceive it as...
You ever said we're fixed? Fine, it's like you go to the doctor. Doctor says you have cancer, and it's like, okay, we gotta get some chemo. We gotta cut this cancer out. It's like, no, it's inoperable. You're gonna die in a week. And then you go home. It's like, honey, doctor said I could go home. Said I was fine. I thought you were getting surgery. Nope. Said I didn't need surgery.
Been there, done that.
Been there, done that. Get my affairs in order.
Marie.
Hi.
You're 36. What's up?
Hi.
Hey.
Got about a minute, Marie.
Okay, I have this question. I'm 36, and my fiancé, he's 27, and everything is totally compatible with both of us, and except for when we have sex, he always comes too fast.
Mm-hmm. How fast?
And I can't teach him to not.
No, you can't teach that.
You gotta hit his dick with a rolled up newspaper.
Tried crate training.
Yeah, the other thing I'll do is when he comes too fast, you gotta squirt his balls with a squirt gun and get him off his leg.
No, I mean I'm
run a little bit of Tabasco couch, sauce though, on the tip of his penis.
Yeah, yeah,
and you know make him sleep in the living room.
That's how I have to get him to to calm down. And
try a choke chain.
I have to kind of like bring him up and then.
No, Marie, you can't change it.
Marie, how is he around other penises and kids? Is he okay with kids and penises, or is he more aggressive around the male penises? I had to put my father's penis down because it could not.
He might not be the right penis for you.
Yeah.
You know, because some penises are better in different households.
Yeah, if you live in an apartment, it's not good to have a big penis. It's unfair to the penis. I know as much as you love the penis. And by the way, let me say this
too. Working penis?
Do not get the penis from a breeder. Okay?
Not a pet store.
No pet store. You don't want to go to a pet store.
Not these penis mills. These penis mills.
There's a lot of rescue.
There's a lot of people doing good work with penises. They're neglected.
Care about the word
shelter. Working, penis shelter is where
penises,
you want to go.
Working penises need a lot of physical activity, so be careful.
She's not my mom. All right. everybody. I want to thank Dickie from the Boston's, the mighty, mighty Boston's coming in here tonight.
I want to thank you guys once again. Thank
Always
you so
a delight
much.
To see Dickie. And,
we're all getting together tomorrow morning, right?
www.boston's.com and find out the concert and go see them because you cannot beat the Boston's live. I want to thank Brian for doing a great job on the coffee, especially.
Oh, yeah. He's just submitting a bill to us next week, by the way.
All right. I want to thank Tara. Don't call me Tara, goddammit, for doing a great job all week. And,
I want to thank Anderson for miking me.
Lauren for doing a great job.
The show.
That was me. I did that.
And producer Ann, and of course, the magic fingered one, engineer Anderson, for coming in here and doing stuff like, I mean, this would have taken a work order and five guys for anybody else to plug Dickie's mic
union
in.
Trouble.
I challenge him under really difficult circumstances.
Yeah, the guy's amazing. Amazing. What other engineer plugs in microphones? You don't see it in this day and age. No, not that personal touch. So until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
And that girl across the street said hi to me, and I puked. It was awesome.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.